Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show is for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. Good morning and thanks for joining here to pick up on part two from our visit with the automotive icon, Andy Granatelli, where we were last week with him. On the chance that you didn't catch last week's segment, this two-part show is a salute to Mr. 500, Andy Granatelli, who passed away this past December 29th, 2013. At 90 years old and a well-lived journey, from his ambition that was galvanized during his childhood through the Depression years and an automotive giftedness that took him from being a mechanic and gas station owner with his brothers when he was 20 to making the letters of the oil additive STP rise into a class of icon brands like Coca-Cola, and then showing his determination as a racing team owner to take two wins of the Indianapolis 500. And in this segment today, part two, picking up from last week, we'll move into the straightaway as Andy takes us forward to his views of the 21st century right after we take a station break. Thanks for tuning in with us here this morning. You're connected to the Car Guy Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. We'll be right back straight ahead.
How about a day at the track? And more than just a spectator, we mean high-performance kart racing. At Jim Hall Kart Racing School, race your friends and family. Schedule a party, group, or corporate event, all racing equipment provided, and no license or membership required. Nearby at Ventura County Fairgrounds, a gift to yourself and everyone else.
I'm Jim Hall. Check out our website at jimhallkartracing.com.
Or call Jim Hall Kart Racing School in Ventura at 805-654-1329.
Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid, low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DI&I spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath, open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways. Plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at myused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
We
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment. What is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of service. Tri-County Auto Glass. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit, a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in. Courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara, 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
Welcome back to the Car Guys Show with you here on News Talk 990 KTMS. As we promised, we're going to head out to part two of Andy Granatelli as he picks up on his engine adventures at the Studebaker Car Company and the advent of STP.
I took the Studebaker engine, which was like 140 horsepower.
Not a performance engine.
Not at all. And I reworked the engine, and I did it in such a way. I'll give you some quick examples like this. The engine was low compression. So the engineers at Studebaker said, in order to bring it up to high compression, the compression was like 8 1/4 to 1. You have to have new cylinder heads to bring the compression up, and it'll cost $20 million to make the cylinder heads, and it'll take 8 months to build them in patterns and all that stuff and test them and all that kind of stuff. I says, come on, you guys. I says, I can raise the compression in the engine in 2 weeks. I says, then test it and test it too, and help improve.
Just from the hot rod experience.
Yeah, and he says, you got to be joking, the engineers, the chief engineers, and all guys say that. So I take and I build a set of pistons with a dome in them and to go up in the combustion chamber to raise the compression to where I want it to be, 9.5 to 1. And I put that in there, put the pistons in there, and I says, how are you going to test the pistons? I says, you make pistons, it's going to cost $10-12 million to make the pistons and test those over a period of 6 months.
Like
I'll
that.
Have pistons ready for you in 2 weeks. And I'll run them 8,000 RPM, I says, for 24 hours. And then that works. Now the engine gets into detonation because it has high compression. And the combustion chambers I built do good.
Right.
And the engineers at Studebaker can say, aha! See,
it won't work.
Okay. It won't work because he's detonating, right?
And there's a moment of a challenge for you.
Oh, no problem at all.
Okay.
I said, no problem. I says, you just design a camshaft, I says, for the engine. It gives a little more overlap, I says, and
cool the combustion chamber.
And take the detonation out and give increased RPM and horsepower besides.
Okay. Says, so Winfield made Studebaker camps?
The original design.
Okay. Okay.
So I says, I'll take care of that. I says, we designed a cam, put the cam in there. The cam, not only the detonation goes with it, but
it'll make a hotter motor.
Now the engine's from 140 horsepower now up to 220 horsepower.
Just a few aftermarket companies,
right.
Really.
So
it was one of the early collaborations of the aftermarket with the manufacturer.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So anyway, then went through the whole thing, one thing after another, and finally, Egbert tells the engineering department, he says, from now on, Andy's in charge of engineering.
Now you got some jealousy.
So he put me in charge of all engineering for Studebaker, okay?
And that's how he got you back to Detroit? Or?
No.
Okay.
He got me back.
He told me there's something coming there.
He got me back to Indiana on the basis that he took somebody I hated, and he talked to me about a company called Chemical Compounds. And he said, this Chemical Compounds was the company that made STP.
Oh.
And he mentioned some guy I didn't like. He said, what do you think about him running this company, you know?
Yeah.
I think he can't run a company. I told him he just can't, you know? And I said, make a long story short, he was baiting me to do it, you understand?
He knew that you wouldn't like this guy running that division.
Right, so he baited me into saying I would run the Chemical Compounds division in St. Joseph, Missouri, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I finally accept that I'll do this. It means I'm leaving California now.
Yeah.
To go to,
so much for the contract.
That's right. To go back to South Bend to be in charge of engineering and at the same time run Chemical Compounds.
Yeah.
So
it was Chemical Compounds, incidentally. Was Chemical Compounds at that time a Studebaker division?
It was half owned by Studebaker. And I drive by the place 3 times and don't see it. I'm looking for some big plant. It was a storefront about 20 feet wide and about 40 feet deep. And in that store, they had the offices and in the back, you used to get the drums from Germany and the 55-gallon barrels, and they would fill the cans by hand in the back of the store, you understand?
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I looked at the can.
It was a small operation. You were shocked.
Very small operation. And of course,
we're talking about the roots of STP.
So anyway, I go to South Bend. I never worked for anybody in my life up till that time. Now I'm president of the Chemical Compound Division of Studebaker.
Okay.
So I go in there. I'm looking at the can. The can has got a Swami on it, Houdini on the can.
Like snake oil.
That's right. And it says it performs miracles. You understand? I said, we can't do this. I said, you know, and then a bunch of scientific statements on a can about what it does and doesn't do and all that stuff. And I looked at the can about, I says, first of all, I said, you got to change the name. The name's STP. You change the name of the company to STP.
Was it that spontaneous? You just thought it's got to be a cooler name?
We can't call it Chemical Compounds. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it mean to you today?
Yeah.
I said, you want to sell the name of the company, it must be the name of the product. There might be two different things. The decal was a very deep maroon, and it says oil treatment on the decal itself.
But you came up with STP?
No.
Oh, somebody else did?
No. The company was, the chemical compounds was selling STP. I'll tell you the story in a second about Hitler and the STP.
Okay.
Anyway, so I looked at the can, and I changed the can immediately to say, STP doesn't perform miracles, but it does perform wonders. I went from the miracle to wonders.
Yeah, just humble it a
bit. Right.
Make it more realistic.
Right. And then I started getting rid of all the technical stuff, and I said to myself, by the time a guy gets a can in his hand, he already owns it.
Selling it on the can.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
So I've come up with the idea, it makes the car run smoother, cooler, quieter, longer. That's what means something to somebody.
Marketing and simple.
Smoother, cooler, quieter, longer.
Smoother, cooler, quieter, longer. Okay.
And it did all those.
Yeah,
things.
Everybody wants that.
Right.
Yeah.
Meantime, going back to chemical compounds, a company in Germany was making STP for Hitler. During the war...
Was it called STP?
No.
No, you said...
No. What happened is during the war, the German Fokker airplane, fighter planes, when they would get shot at, they had oil pans on them. And the bullet would hit the oil pan, it would drain all the oil out of them, and the engines would fail.
Right.
So even if the engine could still run, the oil would run out of it. And so Hitler ordered his V-2 rocket scientist to develop a product that would let the engine run without motor oil in it. And that's how STP was invented, in Germany, by the V-2 rocket scientist.
The STP that people buy on the shelf today has something that has roots to the V-2 bombing scientists.
Absolutely.
So it's got some patented ingredient that's really cool.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's where the product came from. The product really worked. I mean.
So STP, the name that so many people recognize, where did it get named? Where was it before you got there?
The scientific test of petroleum.
Petroleum. That's what it stood for.
It's what it stood for. I repackaged it, and I decided, how am I going to sell this thing? I'm sitting in the office or looking at the can. How am I going to sell it? Well, I said, I have to get the decal, the logo known. Well, I'll put it in a race car. Then I have to have a spokesman for it. Well, I didn't have the money to hire a spokesman. So I'll do it myself to what I call the tripod of marketing, the product, the decal, and the spokesperson. The product, logo, and the spokesperson.
Okay.
So
tripod marketing.
Right. So I put the decal on my Novi race car.
Was that your first sponsorship?
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay. 60, like 61 or two. In fact, I'd sold the sponsorship to STP before I even took the company over, but I'd started on that already.
Now let me back up. We're in the early 60s now, but and I love the detail because this is in effect a biography. If we get to the end of the 50s, you're in racing. And you're saying that you got STP to sponsor a race car or one of your cars?
My car.
You were getting sponsored right then with a company that you were going to get involved with.
Well, I was already involved with the company, but
you stayed in racing then. You were already in racing.
I never left racing.
Okay. You saw a window to promote STP on a Novi race car.
Right. And then I decided to be the spokesman for it, as you know.
Yep.
It becomes history. I did radio and TV and...
Yep.
And became as well known as anybody there is. I mean, in those years, they did an AIM Breast of Studies. 87% of the population recognized my picture as Andy Granatelli, the STP guy.
Yeah.
In other words, just from my picture. And that was a recognition factor equal to movie superstars.
I remember, and Coca-Cola, I remember reading once.
Well, we did that.
Yeah, but I mean, your STP was recognizable
in
everywhere.
In 5 years, we... became a household word and recognizable on a par with Coca-Cola, who had been in business 70 years at that time, and their advertising budget was greater than our sales.
I was like every young guy or gal in a living room growing up in that time when we'd see you on TV in black and white, and you'd say, "What did you say? STP, the Racer's Edge, or what was your? Give me that line. Give me the line.
STP is the Racer's Edge.
That's it. Right. That's what we do. Thank you. So it had the jingle and it had the visibility, and you at Indianapolis with the STP all over you.
Right.
So is that the turning point where in 60, 61, 62, there's something that happens along there where it's just Andy Granatelli blossoms into his a major appearance and
major
visibility?
Well, when I started going on television and doing radio, I mean, literally thousands.
What year are we talking when you really started?
Started 63 mostly, 63 to 73 I was on television and radio.
and just promoting STP.
Right.
And then at the same time, now we get into, and if I can accelerate into Indy for a moment, no pun intended, but we see the writing on the wall here. You're at Studebaker, you take over the division of chemical compounds.
And you change it to STP Corporation.
You change it to STP Corporation. You simplify the label, promote the label.
Then I promote the cars under no vice. I have every car at Indianapolis had STP decals on it.
Really?
Almost every race car in every racing car, racing airplane, racing boat, every type of race car in the entire world had STP decals.
How'd you get the decals to be all over the place? How'd you do that?
Over 30 million people had decals on their cars in the United States, and there were decals on the tanks in Vietnam, and you name it, everywhere there was, anywhere you went were decals.
Well, how'd that happen?
It was a phenomenon because
it did. It became a cool thing to do.
Because that was everybody wanted. Because I gave away hundreds of millions of decals. Anywhere you go, you can get them in the gas stations and everything else.
Now, forgive me, because I got to step back here for a minute, because I'm at a moment in my life, I'm in ad agency work. Automotive advertising agency work is what I was doing. And I look back and I realize, now looking as an ad guy for a moment, I'm thinking, it was kind of like Barnum and Bailey, P.T. Barnum kind of marketing. Was there a mentor in marketing for you, or was it just Antonio the Great, the promoter?
That I just happened to be born with. But
you're a salesman.
I think so.
Yep.
I think so. But the first thing I did was got rid of the warehouse distributors, went straight to the automotive jobber. That gave me 20% extra margin. So I took that 20% plus the normal 5 or 10% advertising budget and spent all of it on advertising.
Mm.
Unheard of to spend 20, 30% on advertising. And how did I spend it on advertising? Number one, I went to, when Nomex uniforms came out, fireproof uniforms for drivers in Indianapolis. I went and bought a driver uniform for every driver who drove in Indianapolis. 93 of them all together.
And they were all STP uniforms.
And they were all STP decals on the uniform. So automatically, overnight, I started the trend of decals on uniforms and uniforms. Period.
Wait a minute. Before you did that, people weren't putting all those things?
No, they drove in your shirt sleeves. They drove in your shirt sleeves.
So Andy Granatelli introduced the marketing on uniforms.
On uniforms. When you see all these decals of science today, blame me for that.
Okay.
When you see corporate marketing, blame that for me. I'm the first guy to go on and TV. When you see stock
when you say corporate, you mean the representative of the corporation speaking, the spokesperson?
Yeah, you see anybody speaking about their company, I'm the first guy that started
that. So when Lee Iacocca went on TV, it was because Andy Granatelli?
Because of Andy Granatelli, because of the success I had.
Okay.
And
so be the corporate spokesperson yourself.
When you see auto racing as stock car racing, I started stock car racing on television, the first one to televise auto racing, stock car auto racing on television. I mean, going back to the automotive jobber, I go to Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is not spending one cent, not a penny for advertising of any kind.
Okay.
So I go to I spend all my money on advertising. What do? I buy thousands and thousands of STP T-shirts, caps, and T-shirts and jackets. And
so you make us all STP people.
And when you go to Indianapolis, the people didn't want you having any uniforms or any jackets or anything like that. So I pull a semi trailer up in the center of the infield, and I pass out thousands of jackets and T-shirts and caps.
And why didn't they want people to have caps?
It's just old-fashioned. You know, they're all they're doing. Okay? And I passed out. The pits became a sea of red jackets and STP decals and caps. You couldn't go anywhere. Everybody had them. Everywhere.
Okay. Okay.
You know? When I came out with the STP pajamas, everybody laughed at me, you know. And then when my board of directors comes over to me and says to me, you know, Granatelli, you're president of STP. You shouldn't be running around in that monkey suit. You ought to have a business suit on.
You're talking about pajamas. You mean the suit that you wore?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the pajama suits that all the crew wore and everybody.
Okay.
We all wore that.
Everybody wore STP.
Everybody wore.
That's right. Okay.
So then my board says to me, you should be wearing a suit and tie. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll do that.
That's when the suit came out that you wore?
The same material, made it into a suit, put a tie on. And what could they say? It was after they told me I had to do that, I did it, but they didn't realize I was going to use the same material.
So you were in a pajama suit
at
that point?
Only I had a regular dress suit made out of it, which it became immortal and famous, like we talked about.
And the picture
about
that I love, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, and I put those out on television for myself, and I advertised for them for free.
Right.
You understand? I lose it for free. Yeah. And that's what built up auto racing to the point that it became the biggest single spectator sport in the world from the advertising that I spent my money on.
Before you did that, no promotion occurred.
Not a dime. And did that promotion where we didn't spend one dime for advertising, okay?
Yeah.
All right. And when I wanted to pay $1 million for anybody who wanted to race with my decal on the car, the people didn't want me to do that. They said, that's too much money. You don't want to do that. You understand? They prohibited me from spending money.
Who was they at that point?
What's that?
Who were they?
The original, Tony Hauptmann originally, and Joe Cloutier, that group, et cetera, you know.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with Tony, but his group didn't want to.
It's just that nobody ever did that before.
It was too old-fashioned. Everything was old-fashioned, you know.
There's some challenges along the way here. You were a maverick, a true maverick. You were coming into Indianapolis doing things nobody had done before with marketing and promotion. And
While this is happening, of course, we won the race twice at Indianapolis.
What year is it?
69 with Mario Andretti.
69.
And in 73 with Gordon Johncock.
Okay.
I run the world-famous Novi's, which are immortal.
Yep.
And then I run and build a turbine car and design and build the car. And my brothers and I built the whole car, designed right in our own shop.
Right.
It shocked the whole world, you know. And of course, that's the most famous race car in the world ever.
Yeah.
You know. And so all this is happening simultaneously with the promotion.
Now, I look back and I realize Mr. 500, and I realize Indianapolis became your real showcase.
Right.
Anything here on reflecting on bringing a team together, keeping the camaraderie of what it takes to get into the winner's circle, to have that 1969 win. Mario Andretti's an unquestionable talent, but in terms of being the promoter and having the team spirit there, any thoughts on that? Was that another dimension of discovery for you?
Carnelli Jones and Mario Andretti, like all my drivers, were always jealous of me because the public asked for my autograph as much as theirs or more.
But you were the TV spokesperson.
But that's not the point. The drivers were still jealous.
Okay.
And there was a rift between the drivers and me on that basis. But today, Mario Andretti and Pernell Jones both love me as I love them because they realize they're more famous than any other drivers because of their association with me. In other words, the association...
You guys, it's a winner. You guys both benefited.
Together, we both benefited from it. And today, you still know who Pernell Jones is. But if I asked you who won the race before Pernell Jones, the year after, you don't even know their names.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And the same with Mario. Mario won the race, only won the race once for me. No other time. And although he led it more than anybody else and led more laps, he only won it once for me. But he became famous with that kiss I gave him.
Yeah.
With the kiss I gave, in other words.
Two Italians.
Two Italians, couldn't control my thumb.
What do you say, Goomba?
No, not Goomba.
What does Goomba mean?
Goomba means when you one of you is a godparent to the other child.
What do you say when you're buddies?
You're
buddies. There must be something, you know.
Everybody's Goombadi. You know. Hey, Goombadi.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Hey, you say my people. You know what I mean?
Right?
Okay, all right. So the racing was fun. You know, we haven't even touched upon, and we can't because of the time, but you're a racer. You're Antonio the Great. You had a rocket car.
Oh, during this whole period of time, by the way, we set 400 world land speed records at Bonneville.
Right.
With the Studebaker car that was absolute in every way.
Yeah.
Old engines and everything else.
Right.
And those records, most of them stand till today.
Right. Even when we met last time and sat like this, you just ran a Chevrolet Impala or a car full of people or something like
that? I ran a Chevrolet Impala wagon. 1984 Chevrolet Caprice Classic.
Yeah.
With four people in the car, 208 miles an hour, world's fastest vehicle to this day on the ground with four people in it.
All right. I don't know if I would have wanted to be one of four people going 208 miles an hour in a family sedan, you know?
I ran my Camaro 278 miles an hour at Bonneville, which is also a record that still stands.
Cool. Now, Andy, now I know why Andy lives in Montecito with the shortest on-ramp to the freeway in California. I think San Ysidro off-ramp in Montecito. You get off there. When you get back on, you have to do a standing start. You have to have a car that can do 0 to 60 in about 5 seconds.
Otherwise, you can't go on a freeway, right?
Exactly. Isn't that ironic? You didn't buy this property because of the short on-ramp. But I got to tell you, people, Andy Granatelli, when he's going south to L.A. on the 101 freeway, he has to go from 0 to about 80 or 70 in about 3.5 seconds. Or that's why he drives a 7 Series BMW. Is that your driver?
760.
And when you go to merge in that freeway, I know how you are because you were on the radio show, the Car Guy show, and you came to the studio and you said, people, when you get on an on-ramp, don't sit there and drag it down. Don't get in people's ways. It's not safe, right? Something
you
like that.
You want to enter the speedway at the same speed the cars are running, not slower, but faster.
Right.
You want to be driving away from an accident, not causing one.
Yeah, good. Any other advice?
Would you park on the freeway if cars were going by 40, 50 miles an hour?
Heck no.
Well, that's the same thing when you slow down to 40 miles an hour on a freeway. Guys going 40 miles an hour faster than you, same as you being parked.
That's why people have those nasty accidents, because they don't understand. They have to keep the flow, right?
Exactly. When you change lanes, you don't step on the brakes to change lanes. You step on the gas and pass the guy.
That's right.
Always drive away from an accident.
Yeah. That's a racing tip. When you're on the track at Indy, right? Wherever the accident was in the track, you want to aim for where the accident was, because they're spinning out somewhere else.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, for life and for youth and for people out there that are either mid-career, coming into the career of looking at automotive, thinking about automotive, or looking at the automotive career. Any thoughts today about what's happening with the automotive industry, opportunity amidst all this chaos with incredible, fierce competition with automakers struggling for survival, not just market share? Any thoughts?
Yes. If we didn't have the unions, we wouldn't have the problems we got today.
But the unions were necessary at the start of the auto industry to be sure that the workers...
That was 80 years ago. Everything has its place. Don't you see that poor General Motors and Ford and Chrysler don't have a chance? They got a burden of about $2,500 per car before they even build it. They got their cost involved. So the other manufacturers, they have to sell their cars for $2,500 more than the other car because of pensions and stuff for paying people that don't even work anymore. Can't do that.
But people needed their retirement. You have those agreements, those promises. But
enough is enough and too much is too much. Okay.
So what would you do different today? Any thoughts?
If I were king, I would do away with the unions. You talk about jobs going overseas, you blame all the politicians. It's the unions. I mean, you've got to be joking. They go overseas because they work for less money than they do here.
Okay. They want to make it work, but now we have a global marketplace. That's how you're looking at it. It's a different world.
You can't compete. You can't compete. Would you rather work for $15 an hour and be able to buy everything for half the price? You know, let me give a good speech right now. All you people who might be listening to this in the future. Whenever you see a union contract being negotiated on television or the radio and newspapers, they never tell you what the salary is. They never once tell you they got a raise from so-and-so to so-and-so.
Right.
They don't want you to know what the hell they're raising it, because it's raising you too much money. You understand? Whenever you go to a grocery store, they got the guys that are picketing out there and they're saying unfair union law stuff. Whenever the union gets a raise, who do you think pays for that? You, the consumer, pays for it.
Right.
Anytime the guy gets a raise, you pay for it. In other words, it's Obama special, spreading the wealth the wrong way. In other words, you're spending more money for what you get. Right now, the unions are striking at Boeing. Right now. Boeing, we're dying. The economy's going to hell in a handbasket. We're in a recession, headed for a depression, and Boeing is striking right now. You got to be kidding. What for? Be lucky to be in business and on strike right now. And the automobile company's doing the same thing, a strike here, a strike there. You got to be joking. This is no time to strike. This is time to be grateful you got a job. You can't keep raising pay.
Your premise is, be glad you've got a job. Don't burden your employer right now. Everybody's in a survival mode.
My saying is that we've priced ourselves out of the market. That's what the unions have priced the American employee out of the market. It's no advantage. Look, does everybody working have a job right now want to make $1,000 an hour? We can do that. It'll cost you $5,000 for a loaf of bread. Same difference.
Right.
Just go back. When I was a kid, you could buy 8 dozen oranges for a quarter. You could buy 8 gallons of gas, white gas in Texas, for a dollar.
Yep.
8 gallons. What's the difference now whether you pay $5 a gallon for it today? So 8 gallons would cost you $40. And so it's 40 times higher than it was 60 years ago.
But there's how do you deal with the fact that it's not just about the unions, it's inflation and global inflation?
Well, there wouldn't be any inflation if you didn't raise the prices, would there?
No, but everybody wants to have increasing compensation for their talents.
That's the same difference. I tell you, when they make $1 an hour, the only thing that happened in the United States is they got greedier faster.
Right.
And more unions, more pressure,
and
more...
And now we have the affluence. Everybody wants
exactly.
to be affluent.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So we went back, talked about the Depression for a moment, but now we come right back forward to today. We sit in the patio of this beautiful setting on the waterfront. For you, just a dream to be able to be in California and look back at this wonderful story that today brings you into this moment. And how many halls of fame do we have here?
I'm in 22 halls of fame in 12 different categories.
22
halls
of fame. Have you considered checking the Guinness Book? This should be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
It is.
It is, okay. So when we look back, we realize it's not just racing. It's other facets of the automotive world, the aftermarket, the performance segment, the whole, all these come together.
More than automotive.
American Auto Racing, American National Business Hall of Fame, Automotive Hall of Fame, Broward Sports Hall of Fame, Caring Institute Hall of Fame, Cruisin' Hall of Fame, Dry Lakes Racing, Indianapolis Motor Speedway Hall of Fame, International Drag Racing Hall of Fame, International Motorsports Hall of Fame, Italian American Sports Hall of Fame, Junior Achievement of Chicago Business Hall of Fame, little plug for Chicago there, the Windy City, Motorsports Hall of Fame of America, National Old Timers Hall of Fame, you're getting there, Andy, you're getting to be a senior citizen after all, okay, Oceanside Rotary Stock Car Hall of Fame, Route 66 Hall of Fame of Illinois, San Diego Automotive Hall of Fame, SEMA, Specialty Equipment Marketing Association Hall of Fame. That's a cool one. Studebaker Hall of Fame. There's some legacy. And last but not least, Young Presidents Organization Graduates Hall of Fame. So all these people being inspired by your legacy, and here I sit inspired too. Andy, God bless you. It's a pleasure to visit again. Everybody has to get their own niche in life. You should have found yours.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure talking to you, and as always, you're great, and much continued success to you. I always enjoy listening to you and watching you. You are fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Andy.
And thank all of you for joining us for this segment on the Car Guy Show. We're all going to miss that bigger-than-life and inspirational gentleman, Andy Mr. 500 Granatelli. Thank you, Andy, for your shining example of achievement, dedication to family, and a well-lived life. Now it's up to us to do as he's told us, go out and seize the day. Maybe stop by the parts store to pick up a container of STP to be sure you, too, have the racer's edge. Join us here again next week for another journey into the world of wheels. Keeping you car-wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.